And we have a very special guest on the line, Josh Mullany from Mullany Galleries. He's here to talk about Trace. Trace is a biennial exhibition and art auction in unexpected West End venues. It raises needed funds for Community Plus's vital services and integrates contemporary art within the community. Welcome to Friday Neon, Josh.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You okay? Everything under control at your end? Had a bit of a hectic morning?
Yeah, a bit of leaking at a building in West End, but all under control.
Okay, good to hear.
Yeah.
Now, how did you come to be involved in Trace? What's your relationship?
I was approached by Marilyn Trout and Jason Grant, who are effectively the founders of Trace.
Yes.
And they were trying to put together a charity event for Community Plus, which runs West End House and also some community houses in Annerley and Yeronga. So they really service that south side.
Yeah.
For disadvantaged people, for homeless, you know, it's a wonderful charity that provides community support. And it seemed like a really great cause, and we tried to think of a way that, you know, we could bring artists and art into the equation, because, you know, as many of your listeners would know, South Brisbane has been one of the cauldrons of cultural activity, both for Indigenous people and for non-Indigenous people. A lot of bands have played, practiced in the area. A lot of artists have lived in the area. You've got the Queensland College of Art there, the Conservatorium, yeah, the Art Gallery, and the West End community generally, which tends to be fairly creative. And so it just seemed like a great conjunction of people and ideas. And Marilyn had the idea to, and Jason had the idea to involve the community, so take the art out into the community. And I talked to some of the artists that I work with, like Richard Bell and Vernon Arkey and Judy Watson, and they just thought it was a fantastic idea. It was a way of humanising the work and doing it in a context of philanthropy and charitability. I mean, it was just such a beautiful project to be involved in.
And I guess it sort of turns that idea on the head that artists are always looking for the philanthropic dollar, where they're actually filling the gap that you sort of have talked about before, that the government has left when it comes to supporting community services. That's an interesting play, isn't it, too?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of artists tend to be fairly progressive, and you know, most artists don't have a good income, but my experience is they tend to be empathetic, and that's something we could use more of, particularly when you're seeing governments cut funding to basic social services and welfare. So, you know, it shouldn't fall just to artists to fill the breach, or for community workers or social workers. Everyone needs to contribute, but I suppose artists setting an example that way is a fantastic thing, and it's something that also involves the broader community. So, you know, I think everyone takes a great deal of pride in being involved.
Absolutely. Now, there was a very special launch for the event last night at Avid Reader, where the incredible Gordon Bennett piece has been hung, a gift from his wife, Leanne, who was present. It's up for auction. Why is this piece so significant?
Well, I'm sure many of the listeners may know of Gordon Bennett, but Gordon is probably, arguably, one of Australia's most important artists for the last 50 years. He was born in Monto in Western Queensland, grew up with mixed Indigenous heritage. His father was Anglo-Celtic, his mother is of Indigenous heritage. And he, that identity was repressed until he was in his early teens. They used to, you know, tell people, and he was told that, you know, didn't know of his Indigenous heritage.
Right.
And at a certain point in his life, became aware of that and you know, had something of a personal crisis, I suppose. But his art really became about having this shared history and dealing with that, confronting it. And he made a very moral statement with his art. A lot of his works are considered very political. You know, he really changed the way we think about Australian art, the history of landscape art, and he brought together Aboriginal aesthetics with Western aesthetics in a way that no one had previously. So That's now been recognised internationally. The Tate Modern recently acquired two of his paintings, one of the first acquisitions ever by an Australian artist by the Tate Modern.
Wow.
And his stature internationally continues to grow. Sadly, he passed away in 2014, but his family wanted to be involved with Trace, and so they've donated 100% one of his really important abstract paintings from, I think, 2003. It's on show at Avid Reader at the moment, and it really looks superb there.
Yeah, beautiful. And it, as you're sort of saying, it was a break away from his previous work, which took him to that stellar place really rapidly, but a whole new slant on what he could do as an artist, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he had made intensely political works. He sort of emerged in about 1988. So you had, Brisbane Expo was going on, and you also had all the centennial celebrations, 200 years, and for the Indigenous community, people who are around may remember the protests, particularly centred around Musgrave Park.
Yeah.
It was an insult to Aboriginal Australians, and he was at the Queensland College of Art at that time. I think that was his final year.
Yeah.
And he started making, really powerful works around the idea of colonialism and post-colonial thought ideas. And for about 15 years, he just went full pelt making this kind of intensely political work. Mm. And in fact, in 2001, when 9/11 happened, he, within about a few days of that happening, he responded by making these incredible pictures that were homages to Jean-Michel Basquiat, the very well-known New York painter.
Yeah.
And he made these homages that were blending Aboriginal imagery with Islamic imagery and imagery of the Twin Towers. And in a way, he was sort of thinking through the legacy of British colonialism, which has been extended through, say, American imperialism, and the effects that that's had on communities and Indigenous communities throughout the world. So at the end of that, I think he was probably a bit emotionally exhausted, because to work at that level of intensity for 15 years, to be putting out these deeply kind of powerful images takes its toll. And so he started to make abstract paintings, because in a way, as Ian McLean said at the event last night, Gordon always wanted to be an abstract painter, but he just felt that it was morally incumbent upon him to react to the political circumstances of his life. So he finally got there after 15 years of making paintings, and the work that's showing at Avid Reader is from the very first series of abstract paintings that he made, and it's a stunning picture. Yeah. It's got an iridescent blue with this beautiful white spiral and black stripes. So it's sort of, one could look at it and see it sitting between the aesthetics of, say, the Indigenous painters like Emily Ngwaire, but it also has a relationship to, abstract modernist painting from the mid-20th century, artists like Frank Stella, who worked in New York at that time.
Yeah, and so if you're in the area, just go visit Avid to have a look at it, because it's absolutely stunning. And just on that sort of that theme, that topic, you represent a lot of very high-profile artists such as Richard Bell and Vernon Arkee, who are of Indigenous heritage, and they have stated that Aboriginal art is a white thing. Can you explain this a little bit more?
Well, that was Richard Bell's famous statement, which was painted onto his 2003 Telstra Award-winning painting, Bell's Theorem, Scientia and Metaphysica. And that painting caused quite a controversy. And what he meant by Aboriginal art is it's a white thing, is that the whole industry that controls Aboriginal culture, particularly in the visual arts, is controlled by white Australians.
White industry.
So if you go to if you look at who consumes Aboriginal art, who buys Aboriginal art, who runs the galleries that show Aboriginal art, at that point in 2003, it was almost exclusively non-Indigenous people. Mm. So he was making a comment about the power structures and what defined Aboriginal art at that time. and called into question the systems of power around Aboriginal culture and who actually was in control of the discourse. And the attempt, I suppose, was to reclaim that, because his view that, you know, he comes from a black power position. In his view, Aboriginal Australians should have control of their own culture. And, you know, I would find it very hard for someone to come up with an argument that refutes that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I guess at the same time, it's also artists like Richard and Gordon just wanted to be recognised as incredible contemporary artists rather than having, you know, be free just to be that beyond being Aboriginal artists.
If you go to most Australian state galleries, you'll find that there's a separate section for Indigenous art, which is away from all of the rest of the art. And it's a kind of a... Gordon felt that it was a ghettoisation of Aboriginal culture. And in his lifetime, I wasn't allowed to sell his works to museums through the Indigenous Fund. I had to present his work as contemporary art. And for him, it was a humanist position. He said, you know, effectively separating Aboriginal people away from the idea of contemporary culture is to say that Aboriginal culture is a thing that exists in the past and no longer has any ongoing contemporary relevance. Yes. And so he refused to participate. Now, different people disagreed with Gordon, from the Indigenous side as well, disagreed with Gordon's position. Yeah. You know, they felt that he should be, a proud sort of advocate for Aboriginal culture. But, of course, I think what he wanted to do was for it to just be treated equally and for him to be treated as an artist. And Richard, what's happened since then is that artists like Gordon Bennett, Richard Bell and Vernon Arkey, also Judy Watson, they've all been now acquired by the Tate Modern as contemporary artists. They're not part of an Australian fund. They're not part of an Aboriginal collection.
Isn't that interesting?
It's just as contemporary international artists. And that's where Gordon wanted to take it.
That is fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Josh. It's great talking to you. And those topics just need to continually be discussed and you know, pulled apart. And if you want to see the interview I did with Leanne Bennett, I'm going to post it on our Facebook page, where she talks about Gordon's work from a different perspective. And also I've got an interview with Judy Watson, which will be on our Facebook page. Go check it out. Be part of Trace. Thank you so much, Josh. Good luck with your roof.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll catch up soon. Thank you. Bye.